You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Let's turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to talk about, of all subjects, a little bit about the resurrection. You might expect that being a Resurrection Sunday. This is the day we celebrate our risen Lord. Hallelujah, He is risen. Yeah. Thank God He's risen. And that means something. It means something to us. It means something to Christianity. You know, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. He said, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. You're dead in your sins and your faith is vain. Yes. So everything is pivotal on the resurrection. The miraculous event that took place 2,000 years ago that was witnessed by countless people. In fact, over 500 people saw Jesus after His resurrection. He appeared to over 500 people. We know He appeared to 11. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, and of course Mary the mother of James, and Joanna. He appeared to them, appeared to the disciples, appeared to over 500 people at one point. And of course He appeared later to Paul on the road to Damascus, long after He was resurrected from the dead. So we have eyewitness after eyewitness account, proof after proof after proof, evidence that backs up this event. In fact, there's probably not a more legible, credible event of history, antiquity, than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, we have eyewitness accounts. There's four Gospels written by four different people. Are you with me? And then Paul, when he begins to write, he talks about the resurrection and actually saw Him. He appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Now, in a court of law, there's nothing more credible than an eyewitness. Eyewitness is the most powerful account you can have. That's the most credible evidence that we have. So just in the natural, we have that. The Bible is a book. The New Testament is a book of testimonies. You and I have a testimony. Amen? We testify to the fact that He's come into our lives, that we know Him. That He's not just a doctrine. That He's not just a teaching. That He's not just a concept. But we've actually met Him. And I met Him when I was 19 years old, four or five years ago. I met Him several years ago, over 30 years ago. And I didn't just decide to yield to a certain doctrine or teaching or live a certain way. I met Jesus. Not, I didn't see a vision, but I called on Him. He came into my life and He changed my life. And He's been with me ever since. Amen. And many of you here today could testify to that. You have a testimony. And I think it's interesting, Revelation 12:11 says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Don't discount your testimony. There's no greater witness than what God has done for you. A lot of people get all wrapped up in, how do I witness? How do I share my faith? How do I evangelize? I'm praying for my neighbors and people I work with and friends and relatives. And how do I go about witnessing to them? Hey, just tell what He's done for you. There's no greater witness than to say He's come into your life, He's changed your life, you call on Him, you know He's real. You are living proof. This is what we have in the Bible. We have proofs of the resurrection, account after account, written, recorded, eyewitness account, testimonies of people who actually walked with Him and talked with Him, sat down and ate fish with Him. Now that's because they were over there. If He was over in Texas, He would eat Mexican food. But it was, he ate a lot of fish over there, and they were fishermen. And so he ate fish with him. Okay. I want to relate to you here. Okay. So what does all this mean? He rose from the dead. The tomb's empty. That's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad Jesus rose from the dead. Death couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't conquer Him. Death couldn't shake Him. Didn't make Him. It couldn't break Him. Hallelujah. He arose from the dead. Jesus, death conquer. Jesus, hell conquer. Jesus, bigger than the devil and all of hell. He's alive today. That's wonderful. But see, that means something to us. Yes. So we talk about the resurrection. We talk about this Sunday when we celebrate this event that took place 2,000 years ago. It is paramount to our faith and who we are. Nick and I were talking about this briefly in the men's breakfast right before we ate. We were just talking about how, you know, Jesus rose. That means we're going to rise. And man, I'm telling you what, the presence of God, Dick was just started shaking. He said, man, I think I got Holy Ghost bumps all over my arms right now. Used to be goosebumps, but the Holy Ghost bumps now. Okay. But it means something. Hallelujah, that tomb is empty. Thank God there's nobody in that tomb. His bones aren't there. His body's not there. He arose from the dead. That proves to me that not just that there's life after death, a lot of religions preach that, but the body itself is going to be changed. We're not just going to have some spiritual, mystical existence. We're going to live in this body changed, glorified. A new body, thank God, to have no wrinkles. Hello. Never, no, the eye doesn't get dim. Strength doesn't get abated. It doesn't ever get sick. It doesn't need any makeup. Mary Kay will go out of business. But until then, ladies, keep putting it on. You look great. Hello. But we got a body coming that is going to be glorified. It's going to glisten. It's going to shine like the sun.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus arose in a brand new. In fact, that body, if you could think of it this way, you know, if you died right now, you'd just go to heaven. Your spirit would go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We've got up here. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. Being confident of this very thing, the 8th verse says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And of course, they stoned Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter, the first Christian martyr. And when he was stoned, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And Paul, again, in Philippians, talked about how that he was at a crossroads in life as to whether to go on to be with the Lord, which is far better for him, or to stay, which is far better for the Philippians, for to live as Christ, to die as gain. Are you with me? So we know that when we leave this body and all your loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord, they've done just that. They've gone on to be with the Lord. But their body's been buried. We've gone to the funeral. We went to the committal service at the graveyard. We put them into the grave. Sometimes they were cremated. Sometimes they were maybe destroyed in an accident. Sometimes people were blown up or lost at sea. God knows where all the parts are. People ask many times, what about cremation or what about an explosion? What do we do with the body? Well, God knows where everything is. I think he's big enough to figure all that out. But still, that body's still here. But I got good news. It's going to come out of that grave one day. Jesus didn't leave his body in the grave. We're not going to leave ours. We may go to heaven spiritually in our spirit. Spirit go to be with him. But we're going to come back with him to retrieve this body changed and glorified. And this corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. And death will be swallowed up of life. Hallelujah. We get a resurrection model. We got a body walking around on the earth right now. But this body can't walk around in heaven because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. But we're going to get a new body that'll work up in heaven that'll work down here. It'd be like amphibious. It's the kind of body Jesus has. He's seated at the right hand of God in a new body that works in heaven and it works down here. See, this body's not solid enough to work in heaven. It's not real enough. It's decaying all the time. It's getting older all the time. The grass of heaven would cut through your feet like knives, and if it ever rained up there, it would shoot through you like bullets. You're not solid enough or real enough in this body. You need a body that can walk through walls to live in heaven. Heaven's too real. We got it all reversed in our mind. We think heaven's like a mystical place. It's not a mystical place. It's a very solid, concrete place. See, everything came out of God, and God doesn't make anything more solid than himself. There's nothing more solid than God. And so when you get to heaven, you're going to be ushered into reality, into knowing. You just think you know something here. You wait till you get to heaven. Oh, hallelujah. The blinders come off. Now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, then we'll know as we are known. Think about there's life, there's noise. But think about the times that Jesus appeared after the resurrection. Many times he'd appear and the light would glisten so much. In John's case, in Revelation 1, he fell down on his face and the breath left his body. Now, he didn't see a ghost. He saw ultimate reality. And many times when angels would appear in the Bible, people would fall down to worship them because they never saw anything that real, that solid, that concrete. So when I think of the resurrection and the new life that we're going to be raised up into, it's a fuller, more complete life than this life. We think this is complete, but there's another dimension. There's another reality coming. We're like in the shadow lands, but there's where the real, that's where the shadow is coming from. Amen. This is just like a photo album. That's all it is. The best we got is a photo album. We're looking at pictures, but we're going to look at the reality when we get to heaven. We're just three-dimensional here. We're going to go into a fourth dimension. Woohoo! And nothing's going to hold us back. See, the stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so the disciples could come in and see that it was empty. Jesus go right through the stone. Are you kidding? He appeared right in the room when the 11 disciples were in a closed room. The doors were closed. And Jesus just walked right through there. There he was. Nothing could hold him back. He's too real. He's just way too real. That's the kind of body we got coming. Oh, hallelujah. This eternal body, this body that will work anywhere, anytime, any place. Nothing can hold it back. Nothing can stop it. Sickness just falls off of it. Death and decay will glisten like the sun. Oh, my. So, let's go over a couple verses here. You ready?
Amen.
Resurrection. Man, I'm telling you. 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. Is that where I told you to turn to? Yeah. Notice what it says in the 14th verse. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Amen. Think about it. God raised him up. We celebrate that. This is what we're talking about here today. We serve a risen Lord. Hallelujah. It's not a tomb with bones in it. You know, they buried Muhammad, they buried Buddha, but they didn't bury Jesus. In fact, it's interesting. The devil thought he buried Jesus, but all he did was plant him. And what you plant comes back up. And Jesus, as a seed, died, but the seed came alive 3 days later, and he came back up. Hallelujah. Because he is raised up, we're going to be raised up. This is what it's telling us here. Paul's saying to the church of Corinth, and God both raised up the Lord, and he will also raise us up by his power. Oh, we say goodbye for a time at that gravesite. We say a little farewell momentarily, just for a little bit. But we're going to see him again. And that grave will be opened. And the dead will be raised. Amen? Now turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus came. Thank God Jesus died. Thank God he rose again. You know, the price wasn't paid in his death. And you're not justified by his death. You're justified by his resurrection. The price is paid when he came up out of that grave. Oh, it was finished on a cross in the sense that that's all he could do on the earth. But he went to hell and conquered hell, death, and the grave. And got the keys of hell and death and rose victorious. And there's a pivotal point in history. There's a dividing line in history up to the time Jesus rose from the dead when a person died looking for the Messiah, looking for the coming of the Lord. They went down. But now, after Jesus rose from the dead, we go up. Because Jesus now has the keys of hell and death. Before, the devil could hold us. Maybe not in a hot part of hell. It was kind of like being up north, you know. Well, really, Luke 16 talks about it. Jesus says the poor man Lazarus and the rich man died, and the rich man went to the flames, hot part of hell, and Lazarus went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Actually, it was paradise. And he laid over in Abraham's lap. And he had water there, but the rich man was in torment. But everybody did go down before Jesus rose from the dead. Because no one had the right to go to heaven. No one had the right to be raised, see, until Jesus. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Everybody say first.
First.
And not the last. He was just the first. He's the captain and leader of our salvation. He's our elder brother. He started something. Now we're all going up. Woohoo!
Amen.
And eventually we'll follow suit with our body. Will follow suit with his suit. This earth suit, see. But in that scenario there in Luke 16 chapter, Jesus talking, he talked about the rich man going into the flames, and then Lazarus was in another place, totally different place, a compartment in hell called paradise, which is no more, incidentally. We don't go to paradise now, we go to heaven. Okay, why is that? Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he got the keys of hell and death. Now to be asking for the bodies to be present with the Lord. But the rich man, you know, he said, oh, please send Lazarus down here to dip his finger in water and touch the tip of my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But evidently, Lazarus wasn't. He was in a place where it wasn't. He wasn't tormented. He was in a place where they had water. But the master said, hey, there's a gulf between the two, and you cannot pass from one to the other. If one had compassion, he can't go and help the one in hell. If you wanted to escape hell and go to this other place, you can't do it. There's a gulf fixed between the two. But now that place is empty. Paradise is empty. Jesus emptied it. I'm throwing a lot out here, but I, you know, if you hadn't come, if you just come on, you know, Easter, you'll probably miss a lot of this. But we're glad you're here. I mean, if you're just a CEO, that's Christmas, Easter, another holiday, Christmas. But we're glad you're here. Thank God you're here. But I'm throwing a lot of information out here, and I know that. But if you go through the Scripture, all this, I'm just quoting Scriptures. All I'm doing is quoting Scripture. When Jesus, the Bible says, rose from the dead, you know what had happened? The Bible says many of the saints, the graves were open, the saints were seen in Jerusalem. Matthew 27 talks about that. Whoa, what is that all about? Well, he carried a whole troop of people up to heaven with him when he went. All the Old Testament saints that waited for his coming. But they couldn't go till he went. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 4, got it? And I'll let you out in plenty of time. We'll beat the Baptist to the Dairy Queen. Don't worry. 2 Corinthians 4, notice what it says here. Paul's speaking about this event. Interesting, he says in the 13th verse, and we all have in the same spirit of faith, according as written, we believe, therefore we speak. We also believe and therefore speak. I love that. That just sums up faith. Bible faith is written, it's believed, and it's spoken. Are you speaking what you're believing, or are you believing what's written? Those are three things you need to ask yourself. It has to be written, it has to be believed, it has to be spoken. But then he goes into this, he says, knowing, 14th verse, that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. Yes. And will present us with you. I love that. Paul says, I'm going to be presented along with you. We're all going to be raised up. The one who raised Jesus up is going to raise us up too. Because Jesus has been raised, we're going to be raised. So the resurrection means more than Jesus rose. The resurrection means I'm going to rise from the dead. The resurrection means I got a future and a hope, and so do you. Amen? In Jesus. And then, man, he goes on. Oh, goodness. Can I read a little bit further? He goes on and says this, 15th verse, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, the real you is not the body. The real you is inside that body. This is like a suit that you're wearing. That's all in the world it is. It's like a vehicle that you're traveling around in the earth. If you were going to swim out in the ocean, you'd need a scuba diving suit. If you're going out in space, you would need a space suit. If you're going to operate in the earth, you have to have an earth suit. That's what this is. This is an earth suit. Jesus took on an earth suit when he came down into the earth. He said, a body that has prepared me. In Hebrews, he talks about how that God prepared Jesus a body. And he came through a body, and he took on an earth suit, because down here you got to have a suit, an earth suit. Hallelujah. Now, I submit to you, the suit he has now will work here in heaven. It'll work anywhere. We don't have that kind of suit. But that suit's not us. Outward man, inward man. Outward man, inward man. Outward man perisheth. Inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. You never went. You have never yet gone to the death of a funeral. You've never yet gone to the death of a Christian. Christians don't die. We don't die. We never die. Well, what are we doing there? What's the casket? That's the suit. Yeah. Yeah. That's just the suit. But why aren't they in the suit? They don't need the suit because they're not here. They're in heaven. Oh, it's better preaching. Y'all are. Amen. Am I going to have to put a little sugar on this? Ow. Now think about it. We bury a suit. That's what we bury. We bury a tent. We bury a vehicle. We bury the thing they lived in when they were here, and it wore out. And all our suits wear out. I got a new one this week. Because I wore out those other ones. Sometimes we don't fit in them anymore either. So, but that's another. That's another story altogether. Okay. But I say this a lot at what we call funerals, homegoings. You know, that what happens is, you know, when you get home, I know when you get home, you're not going to sit down and spend the rest of your day in a suit. I don't. Are you kidding? I get out of this thing quick as I get home. And you get in that car and you'll drive to the house and you're not going to sit in that driveway the rest of the day and have your, you know, big Sunday dinner in your car. Unless you're going to Sonic or something. But anyway. When you get home, it's amazing. You know what happens when you get home? You get out of the car. You take off the suit. Well, people that have gone on to be with the Lord, they're home. Their journey's over. They've reached their destination. Why would you still wear the suit in the car? That thing's not any good. It won't work up there anyway. You need a new suit up there. Whole different world up there. Whole different dimension. You're going to have a whole new body. Body that works and operates quite a bit different than the one you have in now. And hallelujah, that day is coming. Amen. And we are going to get that new body and that new suit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But that's all it is. It's just a suit. That's what he's talking about here. The outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. 17th verse, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, man, I could preach and have a camp meeting on that. The weight of glory. The weight of glory. What is going to happen to us is so glorious, it's beyond our comprehension. It is so far beyond our ability to assimilate it. I can't even imagine. If Tommy had gone on to be the Lord, had a brand new body, and we're standing right here, the temptation for all of us would be to fall out of our seats on the floor and begin to worship him because of the glory that would shine out of that new body that he's going to have. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Well, they did it in the Bible. They did it in the Bible. In fact, in the book of Revelation, John would fall down. Sometimes when a messenger would come and talk to him, he fell down to worship. One guy thought it was an angel. I didn't know what was going on. It was too glorious for him to comprehend. It shined and glistened, this body, this being. And he fell down and the man said, stand up, I'm of your brethren. Wow. See, you never met an ordinary person. There are no such things. We're not ordinary beings. If we're born again, we're children of the living God. And we're going to live forever. And we're going to have a body that will outshine the sun. It'll outlast everything. Everything will pass away. We'll go on and on and on in this new body that we got coming. Hallelujah. And I've already got reservations, and it's going to be a custom fit. Amen? Hallelujah. This weight of glory is beyond us. It's not a matter of just experiencing. You know, we often talk about experiencing nature, going out fishing, going out hunting, and tell my guy. But anyway, and whatever else women do or think about. But anyway, we think about, that's just it. We're going to get one with nature. Get out there. Oh, man, you're out there, the river or you're hunting. And, I'm going to South Africa hunting, incidentally. It's a mission trip. No, it's a mission trip. It is. It's a mission trip. Actually, I'm going to tour several Bible schools and churches and soup kitchens that they've got. I just got an email last week. Over 1,000 people got saved in several night meetings they've had. That's one of the places we're going. They had 200 people saved in one night. It's just awesome. But one of the ways they support some of the soup kitchens is they bring in hunters to hunt, and the proceeds go toward the missions. Well, they want to pay my way and show me all the missions, and I said, okay. But having said that, this kind of glory God's talking about is not where you're just going to become one with all that. The glory of God's going to be revealed in us, not in everything else. In us. The weight of glory. It's an awesome thing. This resurrection body we're talking about that God has got in store for us, you have never seen anything like it in your life. You would win every Olympic trial that you entered into if you had that body. You would. That's what's coming. Hallelujah. So when I think about the resurrection, that empty tomb, man, that means something to me. Hallelujah. That means I'm getting this new body too. You're getting this new body. 17th verse, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. What we're not seeing is the real us on the inside. What we're not seeing is that new creature, that new body that's coming. Hallelujah. It is concrete, solid, and eternal. Everything you see here is just temporary. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Amen. And then he talks about that body in the fifth chapter. I'm not going to go there. I've got too many other scriptures to go to. But read the fifth chapter. All the way down to the seventh verse, we walk by faith and not by sight. The eighth verse, being confident of this very thing, that be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He talks about this tabernacle, this tent that we're in. We're longing to get out of this, to be unclothed, get out of this and get our body which is from heaven. Hallelujah. Our new body. Woo! 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians 4. This helping you? 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Jesus is risen. Man, that's awesome. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. He did it. A lot of people talk about rising from the dead. Jesus did it. Okay, the tomb is empty. He came out of that grave and he appeared to a lot of people. There's a lot of people saw Jesus and wrote it down. We got book after book about how he'd been seen, and account after account where people talked to him and touched him and handled him and so on and so forth. You know, even Thomas, who was from Missouri. He took you all time to get that. Even Thomas said, he said, unless I put my finger in his side, touch the palms of his hand, I'll not believe. Well, Jesus just appeared. Oops, there he was. He said, hey, Thomas, come over here, man. Touch me. And be not faithless, but believing. God does want us to be believing. Amen? Not faithless. Thomas fell on his knees and said, my Lord, my God. Wow. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. See, this is an encouragement. When I think about the resurrection, I think about funeral services. I think about people I know that have gone on to be with the Lord. People that I love and highly respect. My pastor, John Osteen, was my pastor for years. And at 77, he went on to be with the Lord. Went on to glory. Hallelujah. He's up in heaven. And, you know, for a long time I'd think about him, and I would tear up thinking about him because he impacted our lives for so many years that we went there. And we left at 82 and came up here and started the church. And, you know, and I think of relatives and friends and so on that have gone on to be with the Lord. People in the church, we've had funerals here, and I remember them so distinctly, you know, people that I preached their funeral, many of your family's funerals, you know, here. But when I think about resurrection, it just all that just kind of, just it's not important. You know, I feel those feelings, but I realize, hey, you know what? I'm going to see them again. They're very much alive. And that body's going to be resurrected, and it's going to be a perfect body. You know, I think of Bill Livesey. He fought a disease with his body. He'd been over, and he just, man, he worked to the day that he had that car accident, went on to be with the Lord. But, you know, his body's going to be perfect body. When I see him again, it's going to be perfect. Maxine. You know, I just go through different people. I think of Maxine Foster. Y'all remember Maxine. Goodness, started with our charter member of International Outreach Church. She was proud of being a charter member. And, you know, she just got older, and her body just deteriorated, and she went on to be with the Lord. But that body, boy, I'm telling you, this new body, when we see her again, that body's going to be totally different. It's going to shine and glisten like the sun. Your parents, maybe your grandparents, or maybe a child, I don't know. You know, we've all suffered some loss in some respect, but it's a gain for them if they know Jesus. Yes. I can, at Resurrection Sunday, I can rejoice. Hallelujah. There's life after death. There's another life. Praise God. And this passage of Scripture talks about that. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Stay with me. But I do not want you to be ignorant. That's good. I didn't ever want my kids to be ignorant either. Y'all a little slow on the draw this morning, but that's okay. God does not want us to be ignorant. If anything he wants us not to be ignorant of, it's about death. We as Christians should not be ignorant concerning death. We are Christians. Hopefully most of us in here today are. We're Christians. We face death different than the world faces death. We may grieve, but we don't pick up a spirit of grief. We may hurt, but we don't hurt forever. Hello. And that's actually what he says. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Our sorrow's just for a moment. We've been made endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. And he goes on and says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many of you believe he did?
Yes.
I believe he did. That's what we're talking about here. if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now that's interesting because if God's going to bring somebody with him, then they must be with him. This is not real deep, okay? It's not rocket science. Where is Jesus? In heaven. So right hand of the Father. So evidently, those who have gone on to be with him are up there too. Isn't that right? Paul said, be absent with the body, present with the Lord. Okay? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So he's going to come back, and the Bible tells us, of course, it's Revelation 19 chapter, he actually is going to return on a white horse, a flying white horse. And we're going to follow him on these flying white horses. That may be why we had to be there for 7 years to learn how to fly or ride these. I don't know, maybe. But we come out of heaven in the 19th chapter of Revelation on white horses. Jesus comes back, sets foot on the Mount of Olives on that horse, and he wipes out the whole armies of the Antichrist and the false prophet, the beast. Wipes them all out by himself before we get there. We don't even assist in it. That's an amazing battle when you read that, Revelation 19. And it goes on into the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the 20th chapter. We rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. It's an awesome thing. Amen? Now, that's after we've been reunited with our bodies, even. Okay. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not by no means precede those who are asleep. We're not going to get there before they did. Truth be known, they're already there. And so why do they have to come back? To get their body. All the dead in Christ shall rise. See? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, woo-hoo, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Wait a minute, dead in Christ? What? He's bringing people with him, and then he's dead in Christ will rise. Well, who's dead in Christ that's not already with them? Their bodies. Their bodies are dead. Their bodies are buried. Their bodies are in the tombs and in the graves. But God has a plan for that body. He didn't leave Jesus' body in the tomb. He's not going to leave our body in the grave. So if you happen to go on to be with the Lord before he comes back, you'll come back with him because you're alive. You're alive. You're a spirit. You're there in heaven. You'll come back with him and you'll be reunited with your body. Your body will come up out of the grave and you'll get a brand new glorified body. This corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up of life. The grave will lose its victory. Death will lose its sting. All because the tomb is empty. All because God raised Jesus from the dead, he's going to raise you from the dead too. So everybody in the graves are going to come back out of those graves. But their spirit went on to be with the Lord already when they died and returns with Jesus when he comes. Y'all see that? Okay. 16th verse, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, he's excited when he comes. He doesn't even know the day or the hour. You hear a lot of prophecy teachers trying to give you a date when Jesus is coming. I remember one time I spoke at a television station in San Luis Potosi. It was a television network, their newscast. I mean, it was a secular channel. And I was teaching on Revelation in that city, and we got quite a big venue there, and so they wanted to interview me because it was like it was 1999. I was going into the year 2000. Everybody's talking about, you know, Y2K and all that stuff. I didn't even buy a gallon of water. But anyway, they said, "Well, how do you know how do you know Jesus is coming?" I said, "Well, the Bible says he can come any day. We don't know when he's coming. You can see a lot of things line up around the world." They interviewed me for about 10 minutes through an interpreter on this and broadcasted, and they replayed it again that afternoon. And he asked me, they didn't want me to get real religious with them. You know, not quote a lot of scripture, and which is impossible for me. So I didn't honor their wishes at all. But anyway, I talked about the European Union, things going on around the world, and so on and so forth, and how that we could see just by looking around that we're coming toward the end of the time. And then he said at the very end, you know, what in the world can we do? Well, he said, when is this event going to take place? And I said, no, wait a minute. I said, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. Not even the Son Himself. Not even the Son Himself knows when it is. So we need to all be ready for it because it could happen any day. It may not happen now. It may not happen for 10 years, 15 years. But whenever it happens, it's going to be a surprise. Could happen before I finish this service. We don't know. God doesn't know. That's why Jesus is so excited. That's why He descends with a shout. He's been waiting for 2,000 years. And God's going to say, go get them, son. Woo! Or as we say in Texas, yippee-ki-yi-yay. I never forget how we closed that interview, incidentally. The guy said, now, what can we do to get ready for this? I thought, give a dog a bone. He junctured it. He said, not religiously, but what can we do? I said, nah, I'm not falling for that, no. And this is how we closed the interview. I said, there's only one thing you can do, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or just atheist or pagan. You must accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to be ready for the end of the world. Amen. And he thanked me, and I thanked him, and we closed the interview. And then, of course, they played it again that afternoon. I thought, wow, praise God, they played it all, played the whole thing. You know, but there is only one way you can get through all this, and that's accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And what that does for you as a Christian, as a believer, that gives you hope at that grave. Praise God. At the grave of the loved ones and people you've known, they're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. You can know that one day that grave is going to be emptied. Hallelujah. Paul said over 1 Corinthians 15, he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That's a nursery plaque. They shall not all sleep, but they shall be changed. It'd be a good one for nursery. Anyway. So if you're alive when Jesus comes back, your body's going to be changed while you're in it. Oh, hallelujah. If you've already gone on to be with the Lord, you'll come back and get your body out of the grave or wherever it is. God knows where all the parts are. Amen. For the Lord Himself will send from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those bodies will come up. Those aren't dead churches. Talking about... Okay. Y'all ready to go home. I can tell you're not getting any of my jokes, nothing. It's going right over. Okay. The bodies will rise first. In fact, you got a split second of time to get right here. When you see the grave open, you better get right then. That's it. It's time. No, it's going to happen in a moment, twinkle of an eye. Amen. It says, and the dead in Christ will rise first, 17th verse, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Oh my goodness. This is the rapture of the church. This is where the church is taken up into heaven. And all the graves are opened. And those bodies are changed and glorified. You know, there's a couple things you need to keep in mind here. You need to get saved. You need to accept Jesus because you don't know when that day's coming. If you're not saved and you're on an airplane, make sure that pilot's not a Christian. Okay. 17th verse. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. 18th verse. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that great? So, you know, when I think about Jesus rising from the dead, it means something to me. It means something to you. It means something to all of us. Hallelujah. It means we have comfort when death takes place. It means we have hope at the other side of the grave. Hallelujah. It means that we don't grieve as others grieve. We don't sorrow as others sorrow that have no hope. We have hope. We have a blessed hope. I'm going to get a new body. And all those that have gone before me in Jesus, they're very much alive up there in heaven, and they're going to come back, and we're going to see them again. Hallelujah. Jesus rose from the dead, and so will you.